Hello, welcome to Breaking Dawn Part 1. We're all in the bed, we're all in the bed. We're all in the bed. Alistair.
So what's happened is that we're all in the bed.
We're all in the bed.
Yeah.
We're all in the bed, we're watching Breaking Dawn Part 1. Jacob is turned up to Bella's wedding, and he's very upset that she's planning on having a root later on.
I'll tell you what.
What?
The wedding sequence at the wedding in this film, Breaking Dawn Part 1, was really good.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful ceremony.
No, I think it was less that and more that it was...
It was a bit. But it was a beautiful ceremony, wasn't it?
But I like the fast cutting helped by our cheating.
Look, what Oliver was trying to say is that it was a beautiful ceremony.
No. I like the
It was a beautiful ceremony. It was very tasteful.
We got snippets of speeches.
Very formal.
We didn't drag it on going get all serious. We had some jokey ones. We had some serious ones.
TLDR, it was a beautiful ceremony.
I'm
really glad that we're finishing this podcast off on a high and putting out some of our best work. We just found out that Bella's pregnant.
How is the baby formed?
They had done sex and it was so fast.
Did they go back to having sex? I wasn't actually sure if they resolved that.
No, it was just from the flashback. But can bring it closer.
Because it looked like maybe they did start rooting again.
Because everyone's there's a scene where they have full on roots and they break the bed. And it happened. And it's I thought the whole frame of the bed would rend asunder, but it's just a little bit of the front.
It looked pretty fucked up by the end.
Yeah, it did. And there was a good little... Actually, it wasn't a good comedy moment when they were oh no, the bed's broken, because it's you highfalutin assholes making it hard for the staff, breaking the bed. Anyway, it wasn't that sexy, but they've had a baby.
How did this woman realize that she's pregnant? What does she know?
She read the script.
She's showing. Crazy. She's showing. Or because she's what Alistair would call native.
Still on Breaking Dawn Part 1.
We're rocketing through it.
Absolutely rocketing through it.
It's pretty bad, eh? It's pretty bad.
What's happened now?
I think it's the worst one of all.
I think probably because the moral core is so rotten in that it's sort of anti-abortion. Which, is really not on.
This was the main text cited by the Supreme Court justices in overturning Roe v. Wade.
That's true.
Stephanie Meyer, not what you've done. The thing is, Bella's really sick and it's real hard to watch and she's drinking blood and shit.
Yeah. And not blood and shit, she's just drinking blood.
And this is the thing. We're watching it twice as fast as they're meant to. It's so mucky, all this stuff.
Yeah, just really, I don't know, it's what is this?
Ultimately, I guess Bella is making the choice.
This is a teen, yeah, no, I mean.
But Alice was
sure,
it's a human, it's a life.
They keep replacing the word fetus with baby. They're arguing about that.
Yeah.
Wait, they're replacing baby with fetus?
They're oh, yeah, we can hear its thoughts. And it's
which is true, Bella's supernatural, but as you say,
very much morally,
the message you're portraying.
A morally righteous choice.
What are you meant to read into it?
She's birthing the name Renesmee, one of the worst possible names you could name a child.
Yeah, that was...
It would absolutely hate it. That's funny as fuck.
They were laughing in the background.
It's beautiful.
This is kind of annoying. I've stopped caring about these characters because...
I really liked the school people. I'm sorry I didn't try.
Yeah, I say it often. The school... Oh, God, she breaks her back because she's so fucked.
Blow my back up. What I'm talking about is the people at Bella's school.
Oh, she looks real sick now.
I hate that.
She looks like an E.T.
This is body horror. She looks like
This looks like a Cronenberg film.
She looks like she's got progeria.
What's that?
It's the disease that ages you.
Oh, yeah, she does, eh?
You know the one, yeah. I'll show you a picture. There's a... one of them was big on social time. Media.
What chicken were you in the movie's
scene
over?
Actually looks, it's sort of, I don't know. Yeah, but it looks so strange. Like, it looks real sort of...
shit?
Yeah, like, got low budget. And it looks like a television show or something.
It does. It does look like a TV movie.
It does look like a TV movie. So
a child has been born.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Hello. I said we'd record an episode at the end of... I said we'd record an extra bit at the end of our Breaking Dawn episode, if you can call it an episode even. Breaking Dawn Part 1, sorry. And we didn't. But welcome along to the final ever episode of the Even Worse Idea of All Time. We're watching...
That's right. The dialogue pretty well.
We're watching Breaking Dawn Part 2 at 4x speed.
I gotta say, the movie, it looked better at this speed.
You know? Must stress, this is not a commentary. Do not try to watch along with us.
No.
If you do, 4x speed, please.
Incredible sense of urgency from the film this time
around. See, now I can really appreciate the symmetry between this and the first Twilight.
Is climbing his absolute socks
because
off.
Because that deer.
He's going at insane speeds.
We see a deer here and a deer there.
Yeah, but this deer looks so much worse.
Yeah.
I mean, which really,
look,
to me...
We actually... Am I happy that I learned about this parallel? No, I'm not.
The trouble is with this dude, they didn't get Catherine Hardwick.
Yeah, it's true.
No, she was an absolute delight. I wish she could have stuck around, but we're tired little guys.
God, thinking back to the lofty heights.
I truly thought we could do 5 commentaries, be all sorts of different characters. We did pretty well for that first thing. I think there's some actual good content in there.
I think I like that first commentary.
Really good, yeah.
I can't believe I thought I could do that for 10 hours.
I really did. I
could have done.
No, there's no way.
Alistair's energy has been pretty high throughout the day, I have to say.
Yeah. And
I'm loving it. Twilight Saga.
Oliver flagged basically as soon as New Moon started.
I've bounced back a bit, but holy fuck. Eclipse was my low point. Morally.
Eclipse, I was pretty numb. New Moon was honestly the hardest, I think, just because at that point it's really setting in how early in the process you are.
Is that the second or third one?
Second.
I loved that one.
And then obviously...
And then the computer stopped and we just absolutely... I could not be...
That was a blow.
I could not be Kristen Brinsky. And that is not a sentence you ever want to say. Because that woman...
Well, I think once we realised how immense the technical difficulties were with the second commentary, I think all motivation sort of was gone.
I think also it's pretty fitting to sort of finish as we...
Fucking it up.
Did it, yeah, incompetently and half-assed.
It is really nice, yeah. This, we've not watched this film 52 times, and I think that's good.
I don't think you need to,
true
honestly.
To the spirit.
That's definitely my takeaway. Yeah, this just isn't a very good
I think
film.
Bad Mums 2, a lot revealed itself over the 52 watches.
I think you could have a bit of fun with Bad Mums 2. There's no fun to be had with watching this movie
it
so many
not.
Times.
Okay.
Not really.
And Jamie chose this movie.
I chose this movie, that's
such
correct.
An empty film.
There's a value in it that... I don't know. Is there...
There seemed like value in it.
We've done some... I liked some of our stuff in the 20s, and I think it revealed some things, but I think this film was worth maybe 20 watches, and then you've really sucked the blood from this movie.
Well, I think it's just by this point, I just kind of hate the characters.
Yeah.
Like, and it's been interesting watching them turn into people that I hate, because I kind of started Twilight.
I really love Bella, actually, to be fair.
And I was like, this is pretty good.
Twilight 1, I stand by.
Twilight and New Moon today, I really liked Bella.
Yeah.
And I really had an appreciation for her sense of fashion. It's just so Bella.
It's just so Bella.
Now that she's...
She's got, I don't know, she has more of an identity.
Now that she's a vampire, she's nothing.
And then as the film kind of goes on, no one really has an identity anymore. And they were just sort of like...
Edward becomes increasingly
points, really.
More and more unlikable.
I like her with her friends because I think she's pretty charismatic. And I think
yeah,
she's a bit different.
Well,
she's like
know,
a clear like...
Because she's kind of aloof.
And she's a bit edgy, but also yeah. she gets on pretty well with people.
This is the thing. I think these films, they actually make me... They genuinely make me feel a sense of loss. For her group of friends, I there's a scene in fuck I can't even remember which one it is now, and she looks and sees like her group of friends like sort of stumbling out of a bar having a good time.
She's in
and
the
I'm
car
like,
doing plot shit.
That
with
looks
Edward.
Yeah, that looks so much more appealing.
And like, they don't even try. I wonder what they're going for there because she doesn't look happy and he doesn't look happy.
That's the thing, right? And it's like
their vibe and being like fucking 17-year-olds. Just
yeah.
How are they in a bar?
Yeah, yeah, true. But also, like, the, yeah, but the whole thing, whole thing of these movies is that she wants to be a vampire, and then, like, you know, the happy ending is that she gets to be a vampire and be with Edward.
After
but,
like, a whole lot of fucking strife, which I guess is part of the point, being like, you got to go through this shit for love, and, like, I guess.
But for me, it's almost more a tragedy. Once Bella's turned vampire, I'm like, this is the worst possible outcome.
I think you said it early on, but just the very fact of not eating is just like, fucking eating.
I love to eat.
Like, Duck Island ice cream.
Yeah, head up Duck Island.
I don't think that they've, like, done this intentionally. But, you know, like, the fact remains that nearly no one in this film actually is, like, a human. And it really does kind of come across, you know? Like, they all just sort of are, like... I don't know.
And this isn't the problem.
They all just kind of stand around, like, wall decorations.
This film has a unique problem in the Twilight universe in that, yeah, the pretty much all... There are brief... moments of human interaction. The scene we're watching right now at incredible speed is Charlie.
We're ripping through this movie, ladies and gentlemen.
But for 99% of it, it's all vampires interacting, and they're all so sterile and dull as characters.
And it's like,
and all the other ones, there's at least a little flash of.
I don't know. I think just like the bigger they make the stakes, the less important they feel. You know, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I don't want to say any of them have felt real high stakes.
The stakes are true of every movie, though. There's the structure where you suddenly, at the end, there's some sort of battle that has to happen, especially in the first one.
Yeah.
Fucking out of nowhere. Like, this relatively, like, whoa, indie movie with a romance, but there's a twist, and then it's like...
It's quite violent.
It is kind of weird that it always has to come to this.
I think
is at least, like, in the structure, like, we know it's coming, but it's bland and, like, fucking...
That scene, I think, okay, I'm going to argue in favour of it, just more out of...
In the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, first one's good.
Because it kind of does engage with that, like, oh yeah, these vampires actually are kind of scary, you know, because it's like, he's like chasing her around the dance museum and just fucking like throwing her into glass and shit. So it's like, we actually do get to see a vampire actually be menacing, which they're kind of, you know, like they're constantly alluded to as predators and monsters. Arrow's
all
and shit.
Talk though, yeah, so it is kind of nice to have that physicality.
Exactly. But then when it's just a bunch of fucking CGI wolves tearing their head off like rock vampires, it's like, well, this is fucking lame. Like, what is this? This isn't like...
And I was pretty checked out by Eclipse, but the werewolf versus vampire stuff is pretty underdeveloped as well.
Exactly. Like, the fights come to dominate more and more of the films and get worse and worse. And like... just less and less interesting. So I think that's kind of one...
It's really hard.
And it's just like, I don't know, there's just nothing left for these people to do.
Like, sure, there's the thematic stuff about the fact that these cunts aren't human, but there's so few, like, extras. Like, that was the fun part about Bad Moms too, like Keith Hudson and shit.
Yeah.
Even in the first film, there's a lot more, like, other people there,
that
like,
was...
going on.
Oh, yeah. There's a school trip, and I was looking at that... I was looking at that school trip, and I was going, God, each one of these people could have had a fucking segment.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like we had that crazy biology classroom with like all the animals in there.
Exactly. This armadillo. This film is devoid of life.
My shining light of Breaking Dawn Part 1 was partially because we were watching it at 2x speed, but when they were in Rio, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone was fucking dancing their heart out just on the street, just living life.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Absolutely throwing it back. And I loved it. And then I think that's sort of the end of this. Now we're really way caught up in, as you said earlier, the lore that we don't care too much about.
This baby's going to go on this fire at such a rapid speed.
Yeah. A baby has never been thrown on the fire at such speed.
There's just zero fucking chemistry left. Yeah, that was good.
You barely even see him. He's just on the pyre. It's
a firework.
It's just like, a lot of quick imagery.
Okay, another problem is that we've fucking absolutely run out of chemistry between Edward and Bella. Like, what do they fucking have left?
You what?
It's been barely sustained by this shit love triangle.
Yeah. You really feel that.
Care about.
You really feel that by Eclipse. They're really eking it out. Bella has said time and time again that she wants to be with Edward, yet they're still sort of pulling on the string of this. But what if she likes Jacob? And it's like, well, I guess she does a bit, but like,
I'm not buying it.
I guess it doesn't help that we know the outcome anyway. But
well, sure. I think, I mean, maybe in like the book you have a bit more capacity to develop like Bella's internal monologue or whatever. But the films. It just never really comes across.
At the start of the day, I was horny on their behalf. At the start of our odyssey, Twilight,
they're
there's like just this, the passion
there. There is actual kind of chemistry
and they're like
there.
Touching and I don't know.
In that,
I guess part of it's the fact that it's like unconsummated, but then like that keeps going, and then Eclipse is like, "Oh, let's not fuck," and it's like, "Get fucking over it."
Like
you've got to progress the relationship. I really do like the early stages, but
teens going at it.
I think you can maintain that while still getting busy, and you can just grow your relationship. And this feels like it's stagnated.
I mean, I think realistically, it probably should have just been like one book, right? Like
one movie.
Like the whole thing.
Right.
Like it should have been...
I don't think the content needs to go any further than just the first movie and book. Like,
yeah, basically. It's just like something that's just
I like
out.
New Moon, but as a book, I wonder if you could... But then you'd have to do a third to sort of wrap shit up.
We'll do a third, wrap shit up, maybe make...
Yeah, three is plenty.
And then have them, I don't know, sort of, be at like... A more rooting place in their relationship.
Yeah, once you get, but like, we've already just basically said this, but it was especially apparent today. Once you get past the first one, because the first one's reasonably self-contained, I guess. Obviously, there are a few plot threads there that you know are setting up future things. And they knew when they were making it as well. It's like, I'm pretty sure all of the books were already out. So it's not as though it was made in a vacuum and there was no plans to make any more, but. It's so quickly apparent that there's not actually that much of a... Like, now you just suddenly... Once you hit New Moon, it's just all digging into extended lore and world-building, and none of it's particularly interesting.
Mm.
I prefer the concept when it's just girl falls in love with boy. Oh, boy's a vampire. I don't care about the fucking politics with the Volturi and... The rivalry between the Quileutes and the vampires, and I don't know,
which is kind of like that's all broadly resolved by this point. It's just like
I like the aesthetics.
It's just like
mostly for over today. Like I feel like lots of different directors, but there's a reasonably cohesive visual tone. The wolves look really good; they hold up pretty well.
This by the Breaking Dawn is the weakest visually,
exactly,
by a significant margin.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like at this point you've lost all. And I've thought about it so many times, but...
They're coasting on the world that they've already built quite successfully.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, they're just like, basic visual things, like the first one having, like, a film grain and, like, a colour filter on it. It's, like, things to do that actually make it feel like it has some kind of identity. This movie just looks like...
It looks like
a
trash.
TV show. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And they're a good-looking TV show, so that's kind of not even necessarily that applicable of a...
Yeah, it looks...
An insult anymore, but...
It looks kind of cheap, yeah. Like, there was some montage at the end of the last one. And, you know, it was just, like, fucking, like... It looked like it had been made in, like, After Effects or something. Yeah. You know, it's just, like, things kind of going blurry and, like, kind of getting this penumbra around it and, like, the colour going in
and
out.
We're struggling to get in contact with Bill Condon now. We've absolutely burned the bridges there. We were trying so hard, reaching out to him.
But it's true, this movie looks like shit. And I think the owner... He's
standing over in the corner, his lower lips trembling. And it's just like, what, we've just got a scene going through fucking Bella's powers now? It's like, I don't know at all.
These vampires that you don't care about.
You know, this just feels like the kind of the wiki entry on like what happened next, you know?
Pretty much.
It's so fucking...
I mean... I guess ultimately we're not the target audience, are we? And I think if you really like these characters, then maybe this is all really good for you.
You know, after a whole day of Twilight, I do feel sort of invested.
A lot of people I know...
And, this is such a clear, like, it's tanked.
A lot of people really I know...
But this is the worst film.
Have a pretty strong relationship with Twilight, but have rewatched it recently and struggled with it.
Oh, well, the thing is that they weren't ever, from a critical level, weren't ever considered good movies. They were huge culturally. So I think if anybody, like, is watching them from that angle, then it's like, well, yeah, you're not going to...
I suppose.
But the nostalgia that exists now...
Baseline enjoyability.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
sort of... Like, you know, sure, you can have your critical qualms of the first one.
Mm.
But, like...
I think it's... I wonder,
it's more fun to watch.
What's the, like... because it's interesting, right? The first one doesn't... This movie, and I guess this is... It's mostly the fact that it's like part two of one story, really. This movie is all sort of, I don't know, fantasy conflict. Whereas that isn't that big of a part of the first movie. The first movie is mostly just kind of like a romantic drama. I don't know, like...
Yeah, basically.
It's kind of weird. As the more and more the films go on, and I'm basically just sort of saying what I've already said again, but the more and more you go, the sort of fantasy... I don't know, just these elements of battle and fighting and stuff have a larger presence. And I think it would be better if you actually just cut back on that.
We've roasted the movie a little bit. I think it is a good choice for the podcast.
There's nothing else for the characters to do.
I think it's less fun than Bad Mums 2, but I think just when you say this is what you're watching, I think there's an inherent ridiculousness.
I think it's funner to tell people than Bad Mums 2.
Yeah, I think it's funny that it's a part two of this fucking endless saga that shouldn't have gone on that long.
Because I think especially our generation and the generation above us, like, I knew about Twilight through my older sister, who's about 4 years older than me. So I guess this general sort of age group has an attachment, or at the very least, a knowledge of
And it struck a chord in India as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I've said, we're big in India now, and that's beautiful. Like, I guess there's a lot of people there, and a lot of people like in Twilight, and it's like, although I don't know if Twilight fans do listen.
No, I don't think that's probably our target audience.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, our target audience with these last few episodes is nobody, but I think there's some good stuff.
It's just, you know, it's putting it to bed, isn't it?
It is, and I like that.
We've been meaning to sort of resolve this for a long time.
There's a lot of plot points in our relationship that haven't been sewed up. I hope to make a tidy bow... I guess we'd all have to like die.
Yeah.
We'd have to declare our feelings for each other.
Okay.
I think you're a real good little guy, Alistair. And I think you've got good. I think you could get knocked down so many times and you just keep fucking going. And I fucking respect that because I'm a very sensitive, fragile little guy. And you are. You hurt, but you keep on going. And I think you're very adventurous. And that's nice.
Thank you.
And we will die tonight, so that's...
a nice little thing to say. Yeah, I'm going to get fucking on it.
I think Jamie is a man of great wisdom. I have a lot of respect for the way his brain works. Do I pretend to understand it? No. That's not a bad thing. I think we have friends because we realize parts of ourselves, but then we're like, oh, this is an attribute I'm unable to attain. Give me some of your knowledge. Preach. The way you live your life is working out for you. You've got a lovely little apartment. You've set up a lovely little life for yourself. All right? And I think you're doing well. And I think you should get a dog. I think you'd be a great dog guy.
I'd love a dog.
I think you're a very giving and very loving boy, and I think you should start a little dog family.
I would like a dog.
What type?
I've
got like blue heelers.
Really getting into Frenchies lately, French bulldogs, but I wouldn't actually get one because of the health issues that they face.
What does French look like opposed to...
I think they've got pointy ears.
They've got sort of, yeah, they've,
jowls.
And they're littler than a bulldog.
And they won't have that kibble bullshit. They need a baguette.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They smoke and they wear berets. No, they've just got a real funny little attitude going on.
I like medium dogs. That was great.
Yeah.
Michael Sheen just absolutely... His performance is always adapting. I think this movie is very staid. And very similar, but Michael Sheen does something different every week.
Shit, I just realised what point in the film we're at, and it's fucking crazy.
And he has adapted his performance.
His 4x speed is a real wonder.
And he has adapted his performance, though. All these other people are taken fully unaware by having to be 4x as fast. But Michael is like, you've got to do your maniacal laugh. It's got to be it's 4x as... Yeah! It's the short burst of absolute beautiful villainy.
This feels so good because usually every other time we watch this movie, you get to a point and you're like, God, we're barely even halfway, you know? And it's now I've blinked and we're at the sort of final battle.
Which, again, is deceptive because it lasts so long.
This is true, actually.
Like, we're going to be here for a little bit longer.
Getting ahead of myself, I suppose.
I think we're slightly over halfway here.
I think... In isolation, no, actually, I do have problems with the battle. I don't know. We've spelled them out before. It is nice to, I don't know, it's nice now that we've seen all, I really like Marcus, the jaded old one who wants to die.
He wants no part of it and then pretty quickly wants to someone just to kill him.
And at the end of Breaking Dawn Part 1, Arrow's like, yeah, we've still got a blood feud. And Marcus is like, oh, fuck's sake. And like you see him like fully do this like eye roll. It's like, nah, I want to sit on my chair. I want to read my books. And that's what I'd be as a vampire. I'd love to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Because you could just read every book.
I'd love to catch up on content because part of me is like slightly annoyed that I'll probably never hear my favourite song. Like it's just something that will remain, you know, because most media we will not consume. And mostly I'm fine with that, but sometimes it's like, fuck, there's a good TV show out there. I've never even heard of it.
I know.
It's probably in, you know, Spanish or something and you'll never culturally... And it's statistically the love of your life you'll never meet.
This is turning.
All of us spiralling.
Oh, look, I'm glad with
no, no, there's definitely benefits to the whole living forever.
Yeah, you just get shit done. Admin, I don't know, I always used to fantasize about being able to, like, freeze time.
Yeah, and then same, you could absolutely same, ace, brother.
Like, essays and stuff, but also, like, walk around and do shit and just prepare for stuff.
Yeah.
And just not go into stuff unawares. If you're caught, like, by, like, oh, fuck, I've got to, like, you just stop it.
Yeah.
And you can have a think. You don't need to go for that long.
If you wake up and you're tired, pause, just go back to sleep for a while. Get up when you're ready, you know?
And, like, from a practical making money point of view, you can steal some shit.
Yeah, I was always...
Do you think, though, that it might just, like, disconnect you from the rest of humanity?
Yeah.
I think that would be such a...
I'd like to keep spontaneity to some extent.
And I don't know, I feel like the ability to just pause time and freeze other people would, I don't know, just sort of fuck with your perception of others.
Alice is doing a lot of hand gestures about how he'd use that power for sicko stuff. Because other people would be at his whims.
No, no, look, you're the one fucking...
And he's communicated that very, very well.
You want to freeze time, you sick fuck. How dare you turn this on?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to freeze time and go and steal a PlayStation.
Yeah.
I thought I could just pause time right now, walk into the warehouse and grab a PS3, and I'm out the door.
But you'd sort of, you know, you'd have the power of... of God over people.
Look, you know, it's too much power for one person to have.
You know, you could just change the world to your whim.
Mm. But I don't know. I wouldn't do too
I'd
bad.
Kill a president. And just start assassinating.
What I always wonder.
Yeah, true. Actually,
when I think about like pausing time and stuff, like what happens to like.
I hope
what happens
you
to like
age.
What happens to like water?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, what are the properties of things?
Well, I think you still need to be able to interact with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think, like...
Because I always thought, like, if I pause time, like, and I want to run across to America or something.
Well, I always imagine, like, just getting a boat or a plane or something and having to learn how to do it.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I guess you'd have to be able to operate that. Yeah. Walking would be arduous. You'd manage it.
The thing is that time wouldn't really mean anything to you, so you'd just fly there and it wouldn't really, like... I don't know, like, you know, you
I think you
time.
Can still, you're still a human, you still get bored, like...
I suppose.
Not necessarily, I'll get some good podcasts going, but...
One of the downsides of this film on 4x speed is that Aunt Lee Len's time on screen is all too brief.
It's flying by.
Blink of an eye and you'll miss her. This is the last time I'll see Aunt Lee Len. I mean, I'll probably watch this movie again. At some other point in my life,
you
I imagine.
You can't help it. Glutton for punishment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
he's here for Hui Lin.
But for now, nice to see you, Hui Lin.
So
she's been with us through so many things.
Yeah, yeah, through thick and thin. A real staple in my life, you know. You can sort of look back and think, well, 2 years ago, you know, Aunt Hui Lin was there.
She's a day one.
Same as ever.
The film going by so fast really underlines...
It's almost making me sad. I think we should put it on regular speed for the final... For the final push.
How?
Sorry, Alice is just doing that. Oh, he's putting it on slow.
The last few seconds, the last 10 minutes.
It genuinely looks like everyone's moving in slow motion right now.
This is crazy. Hey, that outfit just screams ballad, doesn't it? It feels like they're all in syrup.
It feels like I've done the nangs.
No, look, what were we going to say? Movie Going Fast really underlines how fucking non-existent most of the characters are. Like all the Irish fucks, you know? Did you remember them being in there at this time? There was like one shot of them.
I still saw Ellison and thought, God.
Yeah, I was like, why are you
here? He could have been something, you know?
Like, he's barely...
Like, he's set up so heavily. It's like, surely there's some relevance to the early films. So I knew there wasn't because of Jamie's dirty spoilers, but like it's kind of nice to see some of the other characters from this in part one, but Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah. Watching part one and they come up at the wedding, I was like, Jesus Christ, yeah. This is like a prequel. Yeah, I guess it is.
Because I do quite like those Alaska guys, like, of all these...
The Denali vampires. Folks.
Oh, is that who they were?
Yeah.
Well, then... Oh, yeah, Tukuna tribes, different.
They weren't at the wedding?
No, was one of the...
White only.
There was a Tukuna person who wasn't at Huilin.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
That was his housekeeper.
Yikes. It was, yeah. Just no, it was, yeah.
Don't come
and had to deal with the broken bit. I'm not coming at you. I'm coming at society and its distinctions that it's created. Irish people weren't white until it was convenient for them. Like, they were seen as, you know, a different...
If you ask me. No, look. We're flashing back through the films now, which is nice. Because now feels I've like seen it, these scenes.
You actually missed that one, and I talked about that on the New Moon commentary. Is that so you, hot there. You were missing that scene, that montage.
Oh, that's the meadow.
Well, I would say that this film does it. It's actually quite a nice retrospect. Like, if you care about this franchise and these characters, this is a nice retrospective. I always felt that the Harry Potter franchise didn't... I don't know.
Didn't flash back enough?
Just
acknowledge the...
Yeah, perhaps just didn't acknowledge the...
It is hard, that one, because the tonal changes on that are pretty severe.
Yeah, it's so...
Like, you're not watching the same thing.
So grim for most of it.
Here, at least, if you want that as a pro, which, I don't know, it's pretty middling to me, but there is a pretty consistent through line of tone. Harry Potter is pretty all over the place.
Yeah.
Part of that's because you get aging, like teens, like you get them at 11, who knows what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're pretty creditable, I'd say.
Real hot.
The sort of epilogue of Harry Potter doesn't do a lot for me. The whole 19 years later scene, I find, I don't know.
Yeah, I find it, I didn't like that in the book either. Like,
I don't particularly like it in the book, and it doesn't work in the movie. I think the scene,
Harry is like an establishment, he's an
a
aura.
Fucking cop.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn FBI agent.
Yeah. Whereas it's sort of the movie ending before that is just them standing on the bridge, and it's like, that's actually that's sort of a nicer way to end it. And then maybe if you did something a la this with some kind of... Not just a series, this is very kind of...
I'd go for a big passion scene. Quite, Harry, they could all have a group passion.
It's quite cornily
They could all touch each other.
Yeah, I could.
But I do like that this movie sort of credits every single person that's been...
I really like
across. That's good.
And they do that
good.
Kind of thing
that's
in
crazy
Avengers Endgame as well, where it's like, we're not just crediting the cast of this movie, but like everybody that's been in all of them. And they should have done something like that for Harry Potter. If I
bad blood.
No, they credit both Victorians.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, no, they know.
Are they in the same shot, like...
I think it cuts one to another.
Yeah.
I don't think it puts them both together. Maybe it does.
No idea who that is. Oh, no, I don't know. She's, with Fred Mercury.
Yeah.
Brian May, that's what
she's. Fucking insane that they went to the... I don't know, like, why is she a character?
Yeah. Hello!
Yeah, most of and I'm pretty sure I've said it in another episode, but most of these characters are just here because they're, like, in the book, and so it's like, well, I guess we better have all these characters.
It's legitimately crazy.
But then we lose so much of the film to them. Yeah. It's, like, fucking insane. Where they all get sort of, like, establishing scenes. Yeah.
And then nothing.
Yeah,
in the background. It is horrible. Honestly, some of these, like, some of the, like, core of... Not him, not Garrett. Some of these are JJ's we've got to have, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't recognize her before, but then she's just like in one scene
she's
in Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're talking about this as if you can see who we're talking about.
Oh, this is nice, though. I feel good.
It's, yeah, you know, it's nice to look at this and think, fuck. Like, there's no sense of... Not that we were feeling like, oh, God, I better watch this every week because we abandoned that long ago, but there was this lingering feeling of, oh, God, we did kind of leave that unfinished.
They only did... Rachel Lefevre for... There we go. Hacked it.
Sorry, I'm like...
Yeah,
I should probably try and probably try and fill the void.
Oh, look, we're getting all emotional.
They can't see these credits. Yes, give me a spin-off with these characters. It's Bella's high school friends.
It's good to see that woman persisted with the unflattering glasses.
Yeah.
We've seen that. Character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sort of zany. I don't know. She could have given... I don't know. I like that guy who was doing the school newspaper. He was funny.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Chon.
He was spunky.
Yeah.
Is that the actor name?
Yep.
I think we should get in touch with him.
He directs movies now. He looks really different. I should show you a picture of him now.
Different hair, I imagine. Like, yep. It was very...
Different hair. He's kind of like quite bulked up. Not like in a ultra shredded way, but just like he's way sort of stockier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I call him my beef stock.
Okay.
Because he's beefy.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go, Billy Burke.
And here we go, the trio. Taylor Lautner is not very good in these movies.
No. A real weak point where he's sort of just coming across as a very bad guy for a lot of it.
And neither is Robert Pattinson. He's actually a good actor.
He's decent. He's better in the early ones.
Yeah, he's phoning it in pretty hard by this one.
She's my favourite of the trio, just based on today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate her by the end, but... Not hate her, but, like, I don't know, I feel bad for her.
I mean, she's kind of fucking chewing the scenery by the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well,
the
they
script
all are.
Gets pretty... Yeah, yeah.
And that happens through moments throughout, which I sort of like, but it never commits to like a camp aesthetic, so it's like quite full on when they do that. Mm. But that's us.
Hey.
Our lives.
And
signing off.
Lives can come to a little end now.
You'll never hear from us again.
And we're never going to talk to each other again.
No, this was the last day.
One, so
We're off to the Yellow Chili in Kelvin. If you hear this and you want to go there, we won't be there because this is pre-recorded. But
it's pretty good odds I'll be there. Hoeing down an onion bhaji. If you see me, don't walk on by. Come on, say hello.
Give him a little kiss.
We'll have some naan together.
We'll have a peshwari. We'll break bread.
For all that you've done for us.
You've made us.
Yeah. Bye. Head down, head down.